preached this morning, and we want to finish it up. We're preaching and been teaching about why we believe what we believe, and we was teaching this morning on sanctification. Paul puts it in 2 Timothy chapter 2 as being a vessel meet for the master's use. And if you go back to verse 19 where we took our text from this morning, we'll look at that again. It says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for the privilege of being in your house tonight. And we just thank you, Lord, for how you teach us and how you guide us and how you direct us through your word. Help us, Lord, as we look to your word tonight, Father, just to see those things that are needful for our individual lives, to be what you would have us to be and to be where you'd have us to be, that we might be pleasing unto you in all that we do. We thank you, God, tonight for everyone that has come back, and help us, Lord, as we open your word tonight, as we look to it, Father, just to see those things that are needful for our lives, that we might be pleasing unto you in all that we do. We'll praise you for what you've done and what you're going to do, for we ask this tonight in Jesus' precious name. We say amen and amen. As we're looking at the process of sanctification, you know, it's a word that sometimes has many people confused, and many people don't understand it, or most of the time, I think some people come off as sanctimonious, amen? And it turns people off from sanctification. But sanctimonious people are people who are built up in pride, and sanctimonious people are self-important, are self-bragging about the process that they feel that they're going through, and self-bragging about who they are. But the individual that's truly being sanctified is one who has humbled their heart and life unto God and has surrendered themselves unto him. Amen. There's a big difference between being sanctimonious and being sanctified. Now, as we was talking, now Sister Connie, she always brings up these good questions to me, and she'll text me with questions or whatever, and we talk. She says, you know, can a sanctimonious person be saved? Sometimes as Christians, we do get sanctimonious. You can say amen or ouch, but you ought to say something right there. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we get sanctimonious, and we look down our sanctimonious nose at other people, and we forget who we are. Amen. But when God brings us back to reality, it should humble our hearts and should make us seek forgiveness. And I used the example of a couple Wednesday nights when we had the big ruckus out here. The police officer and the group of kids on the bicycles that were terrorizing the community and everything else. And I went out there to see what was going on and to see if everything was all right and the language that was going on and the way they were cussing. And I asked them not to, and I asked them to stop, and they kept it up, and just the things that were coming. And I want to tell you something. I waxed sanctimonious. Amen. And I thought about what a bunch of stinking low life people come around the house of God and talking like that. I mean, I'm not talking about just a few four-letter words. I mean, about every other word out of their mouth was filth. And, I mean, it was just horrible. But then a dose of reality clicked in, and I remembered who I am. Just a no-good, dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten, low-down sinner that deserves hell, but saved by the grace of God. And there, but for the grace of God, could have been Dennis Gilbert. Amen. And I come in, and I asked the men and the women that were here, it kind of, through the whole evening, all things in a turmoil, I said, you know, we need to pray. We need to pray for those kids. Amen. Amen. You see, the sanctimonious Dennis got out of the way when God began to deal with the heart. Jesus said in John 17:17, he said, as he's praying to his Father and he's praying for his church, he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. And the truth of the matter is we all deserve hell. Amen. But because of his grace, we don't have to go there. Because of his promises, we can escape that hell and escape that realization. And I came in and, you know, the realization, the truth of God's word struck home, and it brought me back to reality, and it came in and brought me to the place of wanting to pray for those who didn't deserve God's grace and his mercies for desecrating the house of God. Amen. Isn't that what Jesus would do? See, there's a difference between being sanctimonious and being sanctified. Amen? Because in the process of sanctification, our goal is to become more like him. Our desire is to be more of what he wants us to be. And that's what I want to be. We preached this morning, some that weren't here, that before sanctification can even transpire, can even happen in one's life, there must be a revelation from the Word of God and by His Spirit of who we are and what we deserve. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners, deserving of a devil's hell. But praise God, one day we come to the realization that we were lost and on our way to hell. And we heard and we come to the realization that Christ had came and had died for our sins. The righteous for the unrighteous. The godly for the ungodly. The holy for the unholy. Any way you want to put it, we didn't deserve what Christ has done for us, but he did it for us anyway. And all we had to do was accept his free gift. Amen. Amen. And the revelation of God's word brought me to the place of salvation. And because of salvation, I have justification. And because of justification, I have a relation with God. I'm positionally in a place, and I'm just recapping what we preached this morning. Amen. I'm positionally in a place that can never change. Amen. I believe wholeheartedly in eternal security. But I believe there has to be a true repentance, a true changing of the heart and life. But because I am positionally where I am in Christ, I want to make a change in my life. And that brings us to the second point that we preached on this morning, vivification. Which is the drawing and the seeking after God. Paul said right here in our text message this morning, he said, the Lord knoweth them that are his, that the revelation is we have to be a child of God before sanctification will even take place, before God will even deal with us in the point of sanctification. Amen. He knows those that are his. But then he goes on to say, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, amen, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I'm glad today that I can tell you, because of what Christ has done and because of the name that I carry, they were first called Christians, amen. They were first called Christians. They were first called Christ-like. They were first called after his name. Amen. Everyone that nameth the name of Christ, let him depart from iniquity. You see, I have a place now where I know I'm positionally okay, but I have a desire where I transitionally want to move closer to him. That's vivification. Amen. A desire to seek God, a desire to seek His will, a desire to be what He wants me to be. And Paul told the Colossian church, you might as well turn to Colossians chapter 3. We'll be going back there again, and just hold your finger between the two passages of Scripture that we've read. That not only are we positionally secure in Jesus, but we are transitionally trying to become more like Jesus. Amen. We're drawing closer to Him. John said, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He's pure. We have a desire to be more like Him, to move closer to Him, to seek the things that are pleasing unto Him. It tells us back here in Colossians chapter number 3, if you then be risen with Christ, amen, everyone that nameth the name of Christ, he says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on the things of the earth. Praise God tonight. I want you to know that our desire and our goal in our life as a child of God should be to look to God and to be drawn closer to God and to be more of what God wants us to be in our lives. Amen. Transitional thinking and transitional changing means that we have to start seeking His will. We seek His word. We seek His guidance. We seek His direction in all that we do, that we might be found where He would have us to be. So those two points we preached and we dug into a little bit deeper this morning. But it's hard to be a transitional Christian on a sanctification process unless we're willing, or not willing. Man, I've been throwing all kinds of weird words today. My brain's thinking faster than where I'm speaking is what my problem is. We get to the place where we're not willing to do what is necessary. Or we have to make a decision to do what is necessary, to allow the sanctification process to take care in our life, to take control of our life, to take direction in our life, to take us where we need to be in our life, that we might be drawn closer to Him. And there's a process by which this happens, and it's one that most of us struggle the hardest with. It's the one that most of us have the biggest problem with, and that's crucifying the flesh. Back over in Colossians chapter 3, in verse number 3 says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Listen to what he says in verse number 5. This is the important part of transitional sanctification. In other words, moving from where you are to where God wants you to be. Moving from a relationship that is alienated and separated because of the things in our life to being where we need to be and where He wants us to be. He says, mortify therefore your members. You see, revelation and vivification are the first steps to sanctification, but mortification is when sanctification truly takes hold. Do you understand what it means to mortify something? It means it has to die. It means it has to be crucified. Paul says over in Romans chapter number 6, we're crucified with Christ. He says in Galatians, we're crucified with Christ. Paul tells us that it's necessary for us to mortify our flesh, to mortify our desires, to mortify our members, that we might come in line with what God would have us to be. He says, set your affections on the things above, and if you begin to look in at Christ and you begin to see Him for what He is and for who He is and what He's done for you, and realize that He surrendered and gave up everything for you, vivification would be no problem in your life, because you'd want to be as close to Him as you possibly could. Amen. Now, if you all had a relative that was very rich and loved you very much, and whenever he seen you struggling, whenever he seen you in a problem, said, here, let me take care of that. Here, let me deal with that. Here, let me meet your every need. Man, when he woke up in the morning, you'd be there. When he went to bed in the evening, you'd be there. When I was dating my wife, her brother, her older brother Joe, still lived at home. He wasn't married. He'd say, that boy's always here. He said, when I wake up in the morning, he's here. When I go to bed at night, he's here. When I come in from work, he's here. Why? Because there was something there that I wanted. There was something there that my affections were set upon. There was something there that my heart's desire was seeking after. Amen. That's the way we should be with Christ. We should see him as everything that we have ever desired and everything we want. And our desire should be to draw closer to him. Amen. Man. My wife, when I met her, I was working three jobs. Three jobs, man. I worked at the golf course from 6 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon. From 3 to 11, I was a short order cook in a restaurant right here in Northeast. And then from 11 to 7, I would ride with a truck driver. I would sleep, and he hauled stone. And he hauled around the clock. It was before the time of the logs and all that junk. And I was 16 years old. I'd climb up the sleeper and I'd sleep. And he'd drive to Pocomoke City. He'd dump his load. And when he got done dumping the load, he would claw on the sleeper and go to sleep. And I'd drive that tractor trailer back up the road. And, you know, we'd come on back up to the road. And I'd get back in time to start it all over again. For me to go see Deb, I was giving up something very important. Sleep. Amen. You know why that was? Because she had my heart. Amen. She had my heart. And I wanted to be there. She would come sit in the diner, and when we didn't have any customers and I wasn't cooking or doing anything, we could sit and talk and whatever. That's about the way we dated, wasn't it? Amen. It's, you know, we've lived our whole life around me working, haven't we? Amen. We dated that way. We've been that way my whole career. Amen. We just had to fit ourselves in around everything else that was going on. But you know what? We did it because we loved one another. We did it because we seen an importance in one another. We were willing to let some things go. Man, I was willing to do without sleep so that I could see her, spend time with her. I was willing to give up some things, to mortify some things, to crucify some things, to kill some things. And if we want to draw closer to God, we've got to give up some things. We've got to crucify some things in our life. We've got to say, God, you're more important in my life than all these things are. The problem is we strive and we try to play church. We try to straddle the fence. And you know, if you're dating somebody, they can spot a phony in a heartbeat. Amen? You know when somebody really cares and when they really don't. Amen. You know when somebody really thinks you're special, don't you, Tammy? Amen? And when they don't, amen? I mean, you just know that. You can just sense that. You can just feel that. But sometimes we try to fool ourselves, and we try to fool everybody else, but we never fool God. And that's what you need to realize. You'll never fool God. And before you can start to transitionally change your attitude, you've got to change your mindset. I had a lot of different opportunities and a lot of different people, but, you know, she was the one that done it for me. Amen? So I had to make the decision, and, you know, I told her mom, said, I'm going to marry your daughter. Her mom told her, said, that boy said he's going to marry you. She said, he's crazy. Amen? I won. Amen? I won. Amen? Can't deny that. But the thing of it is, I had to set my affections on her. And then I had to change the way that I seen her and seen everyone else and everything else. And that's how we draw closer to God. Amen? We have to change our affections. We have to change how we see God and how we see everything else. In Romans chapter number 12, Paul tells us that this transitional journey that we begin to sanctification starts up here because of what has happened down here. Amen? He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. What is that? That's becoming sanctified. Amen? That's getting to where God wants you to be. That's finding yourself in the center of His will. And the only way that you can get yourself to the center of His will is to crucify the flesh, is to crucify the old man, is to mortify him and leave him where he needs to be. The problem is every morning when I wake up, the old man wakes up with me. Amen. And I got to make that decision by the renewing of your mind. I've got to make that conscious decision that today in my life, I'm going to crucify the old man. Amen. And every time he tries, man, you talk about a Halloween sermon. That's a good Halloween sermon right there, ain't it? Amen. The old dead keeps trying to come back up. Amen. Keeps rearing his old ugly head. Amen. But I've got to crucify him. And if I have to crucify him 10 times in a day and put him back in the place, back in the grave where he needs to be, I have to make that conscious decision to do that. Am I the only one that has that battle? I don't think so. Paul had that battle. You go, I told you this morning, you need to read Romans chapter 6 and then read Romans chapter 7. Paul says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. But over in chapter 7, he says, look, he says, I got to be honest here. He says, the things that I don't want to do, he said, I find myself doing. The things that I want to do, I don't get around to doing. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. Amen. He was honest. He had that same conflict. He had that same battle. And he had that same argument within his life. But to be transformed into what God wants us to be, it takes a renewing of the mind, a renewing of our purpose, and a renewing of our desire that we're going to be what God wants us to be, where God wants us to be, when God wants us to be there. Amen. Look at what he said to the Colossians. In verse 5, he says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscences, and covetousness, which is adultery, for which things sakes the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Paul says, look, He says, we need to see that there are some things that need to be mortified. There's some things that need to be crucified. There's some things that need to be put in the grave in our lives. And we look at these gross, immoral sins, and we say, yeah, I can get on that train. Yeah, I'm all about that. Yeah, we need to put that away. And so-and-so needs to put that away. And so-and-so needs to put that away. And oh, there we go, waxing sanctimonious. Amen? Man, it's easy to see those big things. It's easy when we say, well, I don't do drugs and I don't drink. And I had a guy tell me one time he didn't need Jesus. He was a good person. And he said, I've not killed nobody and I'm not a thief and I'm not this. And I just asked him, I said, well, Bernie, how good do you have to be? I don't know, but I'm not a bad person. Amen. You see, we can look at these big and gross sins and we can say, well, I'm none of those. But he didn't stop there. In verse 7 he said, In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. You were involved in this mess at one time. And you put them off and you're done with that and I understand. But he said, look. But now, now we're going to get into your sanctimonious life. Amen? Now we're going to knock the foundation out from everything that you built yourself up to be sanctimonious and sanctified. He said, but now ye also put off these, anger. Anybody have a problem with anger? Yeah, nobody has a problem with anger. Wrath. Man. I'd like to slap the taste right out of their mouth. Amen. You ever think along those lines of something like that? Amen. Malice. You ever wish ill for somebody or do things just to be mean to somebody? And find my place here. Blasphemy. We can probably all account for that in some way at some time. We blaspheme God when we say that we're a Christian and then we sin before the world. Amen? Isn't that contrary to what we say we are? Isn't that contrary to what God says we are positionally in Him? Amen? Well, we like to think of blasphemy as taking the Lord's name in vain. We like to think of blasphemy as where we want to categorize it. Where we want to place it, where we want to put it. But let's look at what it really is. It's dishonoring God. What dishonors God more in a child of God's life? Paul asked the Christians, he asked the church there in the book of Hebrews, or he told them, says, when we sin, we crucify again. We say, well, God, it wasn't good enough the first time. I'm going to sin. I'm going to crucify you again. Every time we sin, it's like crucifying Christ again. What's more blasphemous than dishonoring and disrespecting God that way? By the sin in our life. Filthy communication out of your mouth. I think that says enough for itself. He says, lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds. You see, the problem with us in mortifying our flesh and mortifying the old man and crucifying him is we want to lie to ourselves about it. Amen? It's hard for God to sanctify you and to make you holy, to make you into his image, when you won't be truthful about where you really are to your own self and to anyone else around you. You know what the biggest problem in our churches is today? We lie to one another. How's everything going in your life, Rick? Oh, just hunky-dory, just fine. Everything's just great. How's things going in your life today, Pastor? Oh, everything's just as sweet as could be. Man, if it's going any better, I don't know. If I was any more blessed, it had to be two of me. Amen. How's things going in your life? Where are you really at? Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. He prayed to his Father. He said, sanctify them by thy word. And thy word is truth. Mortifying the flesh means that you're willing to surrender your life and submit yourself to thus saith the word of God. Becoming sanctified is a process by which we go through every day in our life and we crucify the old man when he tries to rear back up. We crucify him again. We bury him again. We bury him again. And we leave him in the grave and we strive to move forward. And the closer that we get to God, the less kicking and the less burying, the less mortifying, the less crucifying we need to do. Why? Because our minds, our hearts, and our lives are changed. Our affections are different because of the change that has taken place in our mind. Our mind is different because of the change that has taken place in our heart. Our heart is different because of what Christ has done within us. The hardest thing that we have to do is to remind ourselves of who we are. I can remind myself, well, I'm a child of God. Positionally, I'm thankful that I can rest in that. But as I rest in that, I also need to remind myself by the word of God that I'm just an old sinner that's saved by grace. Amen. And I'm not yet what he wants me to be. He's still working on me. Amen. A little bit you sang that, didn't you? He's still working on me, make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the earth and the sun and Jupiter and Mars. How gracious and loving he must be. He's still working on me. And that's what we need to realize. That's what we need to realize every day. That God is still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Amen. I can't do it myself. I can't do it on my own. Amen. But I can surrender myself and submit myself and allow myself to come under his guidance and his direction and be what he wants me to be. I can go to the doctor. I'll tell you this, I'll just share something with you. You know, keep Brother George Ballou in your prayers. He's getting very depressed, very discouraged. The chemo, he took 9 doses of chemo before. It never affected him all that much, but this last one that he took this time, it just sent him for a loop. And he's not sure of what he wants to do, but he's only got 2 options, hope or no hope. You know, he's not sure. Pray for Brother John. But or Brother George. Not John, but George. Pray for George. Because just like George, we all have to make this decision what we're going to do. We got to decide whether we're going to allow God to work in our lives. George has got to decide whether he's going to allow the doctors to do what the doctors say needs to be done. You have a choice of whether you're going to allow God to make you what he wants you to be, or whether you're going to try to be what you want to be. We told you this morning that when God sanctifies something and when God directs something and when God has a way to do something, we need to do it God's way. When they dedicated the tabernacle and all the instruments of worship and use by the priest in the tabernacle, God had directed how everything was to be done. And when Aaron offered the fire and the presence of God began to envelop the tabernacle and began to dwell in the Holy of Holies and sit upon the mercy seat, Aaron's two sons grabbed fire from off of the altar. The Bible says that God had not commanded, and offered strange fire unto the Lord. And the Bible says the fire came down from heaven and consumed them both. You see, we don't do it our way. We do it God's way. Amen. Amen. If we want to be sanctified God's way, it takes mortifying the flesh. It takes mortifying the old man. It takes setting him aside. It takes surrendering yourself unto God's perfect will and God's perfect desire for your life. The end result is what John said there in 1 John chapter number 3. He said, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. That should be our goal. That should be our desire. And the more that we are like him, the more that we've surrendered and submitted unto him, the more blessed we will be when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ. I told Sister Connie, I said, can you imagine there fighting God's will for your life? People who get saved, they never grow. They come to church, but they never read their Bible. They come to church, but they can't wait for church to be over. They come to church, they're saved, but they never want to go as far as God wants to take them. They never want to go where God wants them to be in the sanctification process and stand before that judgment seat. I'm glad when he appears, we can be so close to him that it's nothing to be like him. I'm glad that we can draw as close as we want to draw. We can allow that vivification, that desire in our hearts to draw close to God, to bring us to where we need to be. James says, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. You could take that on a little further and say, be more like him. And he'll allow you to see more of him. Amen. The sweeter he is, the more that you want to know him. The more that you want to be with him. That's why people have a passion for reading their Bible, for studying the Bible, for looking in God's Word. That's why people have a passion for being in the house of God and being close to him and being near him. Because they want to be as close to him and as much like him as they possibly can. You see, revelation, vivification, mortification is the process of sanctification that ultimately leads to glorification. The Bible tells us that one day we're going to have glorified bodies. Amen. We're not going to have to deal with this body that has this conflict where the old man keeps trying to rear his head. And we keep trying to crucify him. We keep trying to fight against the flesh. We keep trying to put him in the grave where he belongs. We keep trying to stomp him back down. Get back down there. I buried you once, and I don't want to have to bury you again. I buried you this morning. Don't make me bury you this afternoon. I buried you today. Don't make me bury you tomorrow. this constant battle, this constant fight, this constant conflict of my will or his will, my way or his way, it's going to be no more. Because we're going to have a new body. We're going to have a new life. We're going to have a whole new outlook. And our desire is only going to be to him. There's not going to be anything else. You know, you realize when you get to heaven, you know, people sing all kinds of, Lord, please tell me there'll be deer hunting in heaven, a little bit of fishing and some turkey hunting too. Y'all heard that song? You're not going to be worried about that when you get to heaven. You know what you're going to be worried about? You know what you're going to be focused on? It's all about him. Amen? It's all about him. It's all about him, and it's all about what he's done. It's all about him and how blessed you've been in your life because of him. It's all about him. And if that's the way it's going to be in heaven, why don't we make it that way here? It's all about him. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about him. Sanctification is a process of becoming more like him. Sanctification is a process of being used by him. Sanctification is a process where we desire and we long for and we look for the opportunity to be a vessel that's meet for the master's use. So we stand at our feet tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed.